Here on The Jordan Rich Show, he covers it all. Community, the arts, history, science, sports, and more. Join in on the fun and call Jordan at 617-254-1030.
And welcome back to your friends, 134, and it is snowing, 28 degrees out there, so do drive with care. They expect 1 to 3 inches, but just enough to make it a little tricky out there. In studio with me is my buddy Brian Hoffman. He's co-hosting, and joining us on the line right now to regale us with the kind of stuff that everyone's into now is Patrick O'Malley. Patrick is known as the social media and Google expert, and he lets businesses and individuals know how to do it better on the web. Patrick, how are you, sir?
Great. How you guys doing?
Okay. Now, you've been all over the place. I caught you on TV recently, and you've got a pretty good website that we'll give out right now. It's www.617-patrick.com. And what are you talking about mostly these days? Are you talking about Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, or all three, or what?
Yeah, it depends on who the client is. A week ago, I was speaking in Boston for a sales group, and they wanted to know how to use LinkedIn for business. And so I told them how to use LinkedIn to make sales. Some people are interested in Twitter, some Facebook, and I actually spend a fair amount of time talking about YouTube, believe it or not,
okay,
even for business.
Well, Brian is here with me, and Brian's an independent business owner, as am I, quite frankly. And we thought we'd start with LinkedIn because, for people who don't know, it's a very active program for a lot of businesses. And Brian, why don't you start, because you use it and you're finding some success with it?
I do, and more than some success. I think, you know, for me and Patrick, my business is professional recruiting. LinkedIn is a mainstay, I think, a foundational point to anybody in my business.
So tell me what we should know about when it comes to LinkedIn and how we should use it better.
But you have to determine what it is that you want to use LinkedIn for, whether you're buying or selling. But for me, the real power in LinkedIn isn't so much setting up your profile. It's what you can find on LinkedIn and what you can find if you do an advanced search.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to your LinkedIn page and you look in the upper right-hand corner, it says advanced. And if you go to that page, you can find people based on their profiles, and you can do so by words in their title. So, for an example, if you were looking for a graphic designer to do some photographic work for your web page, for instance, you could do a search for a graphic designer in the Boston area. And since LinkedIn's essentially a business Rolodex for everybody that's in business, you're likely to find someone. But it's better than that. You can find people who know that person, and that can be helpful in business. For instance, I'm looking at Brian's profile, and if I were to call him for some reason in business, there's so much information I can find out about him, where he went to school, about his Navy background. But the thing that I think is most powerful in LinkedIn is that I can find people who know Brian. For instance, we both know Jordan Rich, obviously.
Right.
We also know Steve McCary.
Yep.
We know Michael Sorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be surprising, but if I'm calling Brian and I wanted to get his attention, he might hang up on another person who was making a cold call to make sales, for instance. He might listen a little longer if he knew that I knew Steve McCary and Michael Sorrow.
Yeah,
that's right.
Friend.
Good point. So you're saying that it's not simply the tooling through the sites and you know, putting your information in and getting information out, but it's digesting it a little bit and using it in your own social interaction, to better relationships with clients.
Exactly. And
yeah.
To find an icebreaker if you're trying to make a sale or if you're trying to get a job, and I assume some of your audience is looking for a job.
Oh.
Yep.
And if I were looking to get hired by Brian, you know, some of the techniques that I would use would be to look through his background. If I went to Stonehill College, for instance, I might talk about that. If I was in the Navy, I might talk about that. Or again, I think one of the amazing things is that we could talk about mutual friends. And that, you know, he'd have a difficult time hanging up on me if he knew we had three friends in common.
I was mentioning to Brian the Twitter revolution. I have stayed away from it, and Brian has as well. But I know that people are doing it, and a lot of celebrities are doing it. But if you're looking to build your business base, is Twitter useful?
Yes, and for a couple of reasons that I bet most people haven't thought of. Here's one. First of all, I have a search background. I worked for a search engine. I was vice president of operations. So when I look at a site like that, I look for the search capability. And Twitter actually has a search function. It's actually a little bit difficult to find, but if you go to search.twitter.com, mm-hmm. you can actually search through any of the tweets that anybody has said, and you can even do that in a geographic area. And let me tell you how that could help you in business. Let's say that you're a wedding planner. You could actually search within 20 miles of Boston for, I'm sorry, 15 miles of Boston, because it only gives you certain possibilities, mm-hmm. 15 miles of Boston for anybody that used the phrase got engaged. And you know, any woman on Twitter who gets engaged is going to tell everybody she got engaged, right?
Right.
So you can find those people, and then you can actually talk to them directly. So I tell people to look at Twitter a little bit differently.
Mm.
Think of it as a cocktail party with a couple hundred million people, and just look for the ones that might be saying things that your business would be interested in. And like I said, if I was a wedding planner, I'd be interested in people that got engaged.
Very,
how's that for a good idea?
That's a very good idea. Let me just reintroduce my guest, and his name is Patrick O'Malley. He is a keynote speaker and does a lot of training and consulting, does media all over the country. We're thrilled to have him here for a few minutes to talk about his work in helping us through the social media, networking and deciding, you know, how to use it better. And Brian, you have a question for Patrick.
Yeah, Patrick, I mean, interesting example with the wedding planner, and I understand that, but I think that what that illustrates for me is that it's better as a business-to-consumer tool than it is business-to-business. Am I wrong?
I would agree with you there.
Okay.
I would agree with you there.
Yeah,
unless you know the kinds of things that, you know, your business might be interested in. Let me give you an example. If someone is a Twitter user and their company needs a Unix system administrator, which is a computer job,
yep.
they might send out a message on Twitter saying, need Unix administrator. Well, you could do a Twitter search every so often and bookmark it so that it's easy to bring up again. You could use a Twitter search for anyone who was searching for the words, for anyone who had said the words Unix system administrator
right.
within 15 miles of the Boston area.
Right.
So, I mean, in business, it's possible to use it B2B, although I would agree, you know, it's probably used more often B2C.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Since Google is part of your discussion point and it has become a term of art, everyone says, I'm going to Google this, and boy, have they cornered the market on search engines. You talk about how anybody can improve the chances of them being found in a Google search. And if you've got a business that isn't just brick and mortar and you want to get people to your business, you want them to Google something and find you, right? So how do we do that? What's the direction we take?
Are you talking about a person who wants to be found through their LinkedIn profile in Google or through some other approach?
No, through some other. I'm just the Google or any search pattern that is so big like Google. How do you improve your chances of being discovered, if you will,
right.
bumped up, as they say?
Great question. One answer, and this is a nice little magic trick, is to create what's called a local entry. Mm-hmm. If I had Patrick's Pizza Parlor in Medford, I could create a local entry in Google, and those tend to show up at the top of Google results. And the way that you do that is in the upper left-hand corner, when you take a look at Google, there's an option that says either maps or local. Click on that, then look on the left-hand side, and it'll allow you to add a business entry. And so that's how you get started. Let me tell you how powerful this can be. I had a client who had sold environmentally safe kitchens, all right? You know, I mean, that like the wood would be made out of bamboo, and all of the materials were recyclable materials.
Mm.
And I said to them when I went into the consulting engagement, I said, you know, what words would your clients use to look you up? And they said, green kitchens. Now, I figured, all right, I'll make up a local entry, and in less than 2 hours, they were the number one match on Google for green kitchens. And still,
cool.
in most areas, this isn't true every place because Google has different databases, but in most areas, if you put in Green Kitchens Boston, it's still the number one match with a picture.
with a picture. Yep. See, that's the thing. I mean, and then all of a sudden, you know, ka-ching, you start to get people paying attention.
Yeah.
Was it safe to say? And I'm looking at this from the listener's point of view as a novice. Is it safe to say that the other search engines just? I mean, who's using other search engines right now? Is Google just so dominant?
They are, although the others shouldn't be completely ignored. You know, for the past 5 years, the numbers have been about the following. Google tends to have about 70% of the market. Yahoo has 10 to 15% of the market. Microsoft maybe 7% of the market. And the rest of it is, you know, AOL has a little chunk. Ask Jeeves has a little chunk, which is now called Ask. And there are a few others that have a smaller and smaller chunk. But if you're a business, what your audience wants to know is that if you set up your website and you set up everything else so that it will rank highly on Google, it'll also probably rank highly on the others.
Okay, let's do this. Let me take a break, a quick one here, and we'll come right back, and then we'll talk a bit about Facebook as well, which is another big part of what you do. My guest in this segment is Patrick O'Malley. Visit his website, www.617-patrick.com. He's all over the map. He's very energetic, and he's got some of the best insight into how to use social media. We'll continue in a moment, straight ahead on WBZ.
It's the Jordan Rich Show with an open invitation for you to listen and join in if you'd like. Just call Jordan at 617-254-1030.
Nothing, and the snow is really piling up.
The snow is really coming down hard here.
And I fear the winter.
Lots of accidents.
Don't your feet get cold in the wintertime?
It's snowing pretty hard out there. It's coming outside.
The sun won't shine.
Snowy.
Next weather in just 10 minutes.
Icy. The roads are jammed with people.
Why don't you come to your senses?
Next weather.
Next weather.
Come to your senses.
Next weather in just 10 minutes.
The WBZ Storm Center.
WBZ News Radio. 1030.
Monday.
Sounds like Monday.
News. Weather.
Traffic on the threes.
It always seems to be a Monday.
Join WBZ Monday morning to start the week right.
We'll have more on Governor Patrick's appearance on ABC's This Week. A Duxbury firefighter is due in court on a drunken driving charge. Who won and who wore what at the Oscars? And in sports, the Red Sox open their exhibition schedule and will continue to follow the fallout from the big Celtics trade.
All you need to start the day.
Weather on the tens and traffic on the threes.
Monday morning.
WBZ News Radio, 1030.
Hi, this is Jack Williams. Our annual Volvo raffle for Wednesday's Child is underway again. This year's prize is a 2011 Volvo XC60 with a sticker price of more than $44,000. Since Volvo and its New England dealers give us the vehicle, all of the money raised will go to help special needs adoption. Every year, my wife Marcy and I give out $250,000. The raffle tickets cost $100 each. Go to JackWilliamsWednesdaysChild.com or call 617-787-7049.
Perhaps you're familiar with the stately brick building in the heart of Weymouth Landing, but maybe you don't know about the exceptional level of skilled nursing care going on inside. This is Scott Wally for the Royal Health Group and Royal Braintree Nursing and Rehabilitation Center, where innovative health care is our mission and our promise. Royal Braintree features an expanded commitment to Alzheimer's care under the direction of Maureen Bradley, one of the region's leading experts in cognitive impairment. There is a better way, and the Royal Innovation Alzheimer's Care Program gives our residents every opportunity for the very best quality of life possible. At Royal Braintree, our coordinated care protocol ensures a constant flow of information to your own doctor and family members at every stage of your rehabilitation in our popular terrace unit. And Royal Braintree is the first in the area to offer high-definition telemedicine technology, which enables the physician to be in direct visual contact with a patient at any time of day or night. To schedule a visit or get more information, go online to royalhealthgroup.com. Royal Braintree Nursing and Rehabilitation Center, ensuring the Royal Standard of Excellence from our family to yours.
Got something on your mind? Call 617-254-1030. WBZ News Radio 1030.
We're back at 149. Jordan Rich here with my buddy Brian in studio. And on the line, Patrick O'Malley. Patrick is an expert in social media, does a lot of speaking on the subject, and you can find out more at his website, which I'll give you before we wrap up. And Patrick, as you know, the Middle East is over the last couple of months has been brewing with revolution, and some of it very positive, some of it a little scary. But Facebook, there was one gentleman, I think, in Egypt who named his daughter Facebook. So we know the impact of this social media deal. But what are some of the, well, as you see, some of the dangers of Facebook use for the general public? You got to be careful of this kind of thing. It's got a lot of power, doesn't it?
Well, you definitely do, and it's amazing how much trouble people can get into as a result of it. As a matter of fact, this week, down at the Cape, a firefighter got fired because he had said some nasty things on Facebook. And, you know, what he didn't realize is if you're not very protective about the things that you say there, sometimes your friends can see it, sometimes your friends of friends can see it, and sometimes everyone can see it, depending on how you set up privacy settings. So be careful.
So go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, not only your friends and friends and friends, but your boss.
Yeah.
Well, well, if you're friends with your boss on Facebook and then you say something that's either insensitive or here's something that the guy may get caught for, Facebook timestamps everything that gets put on there.
Right.
So if you say something that your boss doesn't like, if you say, you know, that you like the New York Yankees and you did it during the day and your boss is a huge Red Sox fan, he could say, why are you using Facebook during the day? There's a timestamp that proves you didn't. You might lose your job because of that.
Exactly.
Well, see, you bring up some excellent points, and it is a lot of fun, and people are tooling around and meeting friends and so forth. I use it specifically for the radio show. If you notice, I mean, outside of thanking people for listening, I'm not getting into anything personal. At the same time, Brian was talking about this earlier with me. Because you're involved with family and friends and they're writing into you, that opens up, you know, the possibility for someone to sort of peer into your private life, even though you're not writing it.
Sure.
Yeah.
And you got to be very careful about that.
Yeah. Now, how about Facebook, though, as a promotional tool to help you in the job search or help you make money in a private business? How's that working out?
In a job search, Facebook actually has a job search section, but it is really difficult to find, believe it or not. It's in something called the Facebook Marketplace, which is hard to find. And looking for jobs there is difficult. But here's something I've seen be very effective on Facebook. If you post that you lost your job and you're looking for a new job, that's an easy way for you to shout out to all your friends that you're unemployed and you're looking for a particular kind of job. Think about how difficult that was 10 years ago. Notifying your friends might have been impossible, and now, with one statement, you can do that pretty quickly. Now, I'll give your listeners one magic tip. It's obvious after you hear it, but not before. A lot of people think that you could post a message like that anytime you want, 2 o'clock in the morning, for instance, on a Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true, but people are less likely to see it because by the time somebody looks on a Sunday night at 6 o'clock, that message is probably so far back that they didn't see it. So I encourage people to think about when their friends would look at Facebook, and it's probably between 4 and 8 o'clock typical nights.
Yep.
And what you want to do is to maybe post at 3:30 in the afternoon so that you're really likely to be seen by people who check Facebook just before they leave work, and people who check Facebook right after dinner.
Post time. Very good advice. Yep. Very good advice. It's almost you know, you're almost like running a radio or TV broadcast, and you want to hit your audience, and there's a certain amount of audience, you know, that turns over, as they say. It's very interesting.
Yeah, absolutely true. And the same thing happens within LinkedIn in your status section. The neat thing about it is a broadcast message. If you make a change to your status, every person who is a first-tier connection to you in LinkedIn gets a message, hey, Jordan's status has just changed. Mm. It's up to them if they want to click in and go view it and see what happened, but that stays there as an inbound email message, so later on they can go do it. It doesn't parse back underneath all the newer stuff the way it'll happen on Facebook.
Well, there are actually a couple of ways to do it on LinkedIn. You can send individual messages to people so that they show up as email, or if you post it as a status update, it sort of scrolls off.
Yeah.
Now, a tip for LinkedIn people, and this may be a little bit obnoxious, but you can actually post the exact same message multiple times.
Right.
And that way, it will tend to stay up at the top. Now, if you do it every 10 minutes, people are going to get annoyed.
Yes, yeah, obviously.
Yeah, and they can click out of it, too.
Yeah.
Exactly. But it's not a terrible idea if you're desperate and you're looking for a job to maybe post the fact that you're looking for a job at 8 o'clock in the morning, then maybe do it at 11:30 just before they might check LinkedIn at lunch, mm-hmm. and then maybe do it again at 4 o'clock. So you do it three times during the day, and you...
Right.
Show up.
Patrick, but before we run out of time here, you also focus on blogging. I always love saying that. It's just a tough word to say, blogging.
I know.
But you focus on it. And there are so many people now who are able to get their message out. And granted, it's up to whoever wants to read it. But what is the benefit and what is the drawback? I think I know what the drawback is, having read a lot of bad blogs. But just your sense that this might be a good opportunity for people.
Well, the bottom line is that if you're a good writer, years ago, to be read by thousands or tens of thousands of people, you had to be in a major publishing, whether it was a newspaper
sure.
or whether you had a book. Today, anybody can write a blog. And the piece of advice that I would give people more than anything else is to make sure the title of the blog entry contains the words that people would tend to use when they search in Google. And let me give you a specific bad example of that, because you'll learn a lot from the bad example.
Sure.
A friend of mine is a social media expert, wrote a nice article about how he sold his house through social media, by posting on Facebook, by using Twitter, etc. And what he called the article was, "Can Lightning Strike Twice?" Because he was selling a second house, and he wanted to know if he could sell another house through social media.
Mm.
What he should have titled the article is, "Selling Real Estate Through Social Media, : and then Can Lightning Strike Twice?"
Gotcha.
Because Google takes a close look at that title, and it tries to assume that whatever's in the title, just like whatever's in the headline in a newspaper, is the best indicator of the content. If he had called it Selling Real Estate Through Social Media, then anyone who did a Google search and said, "Well, I wonder if I can find anything on selling media," I'm sorry, selling real estate through social media, if they put in those keywords, his blog entry is more likely to show up.
That's a very, very good point. Leading people through this mass of confusion by with keywords and appropriate
exactly.
words.
It's that same relevance factor. You want to get the most relevant grouping of words that's going to connect with what their need is.
So Patrick,
exactly.
You do this kind of work all over the country now, right? You speak to groups, and I know you... I mean, you've done a lot of it locally, but you're all over the place, I guess.
Oh, absolutely. A month ago, I was in New Orleans, Nashville, and Memphis all in the same week.
Good for you, man. And you're very good at what you do, by the way. Both Brian and I were exploring your website, and I could just tell some of the stuff you came up with tonight, real gems. And the phone number is pretty easy, right?
Yep, 617-PATRICK, and that's also my website address and my Twitter name and everything else.
Which is also a good thing, right, to have that kind of consistency?
Exactly. It's simple. And I'll tell you, people in Boston always laugh because I actually introduce myself as 617-PATRICK because it's easy to remember. They can always get in touch with me.
Well, I think that's how I remembered it.
That's called branding.
Exactly. 617-PATRICK.com. Really nice chatting with you, my friend. Thanks for being up late and keeping a lot of us who are on computers now up to date with what we need to do. Thank you so much.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
take care.